What advantage may have the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? Much every chiefly because that at all them were committed the oracles of God. 3. So that if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? This one. God forbid. Romans chapter 3. Let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. 5. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? If God unrighteous, is God unrighteous? Who taketh vengeance? I speak as man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also charged as a sinner? 8. And not rather, as we be slanderers reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no good one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the world, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. 13. Then God is an open scripture with their tongues. They have used deceit. The poison of others is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. 15. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Deception and misery are in their ways. 17. And the way of peace have they not known. 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. 19. Now we know that what is these, whatever the Lord says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the words may become guilty before God. 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. 21. Righteousness. But now, the righteousness of God, without the law, is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Mare, church, Madras, Chaurendam, verse 1, verse 21, Aloma, chapter
1st of Wache, from Yuda, Morungu, Ari Olungama. Zipopo, Chero, Yuda, Apostaminji. Kapenangulidwe kufindula nji. Sambiri monse monse. Choyamba kutimawa mulungu anaperekedwa kwa iwo. Nangabwa nji ena sakulubilira. Kuma kusakulubilira kwao, kuyata chabe chikulubiliro cha mulungu. Verse 4. Nisoteo hai. Kuma mulungu akareo ona. Jimo antu onse akareo nama. Maunga kore medwa. Ujiinu, muka esebe paurungama maneno anu. Jukuti, muka lakike, mene muweru zidwa. S5. Kuma ngapitosa ungama chatu, kitsimikiza kirungamo cha mulungu, kitatani ife. Kuma aliwasa lungama mulungu amene atifikita mkwiyo. Njilangula umo, munenera. Muntu, msatero hai, katukuta wa mulungu, ata wanu sabulanchi mlandu wa chikwalabansi. Verse 7. Pakutinga ti, chona adisha mulungu, chituluki za ulemelero wache, chifuko cha boza langa. Nanga ineso, niwenu sabulanchi, monga wachima. Jipo, nileke lanchi kunena, chichita soaipa, kutisawino, sikate. Monga soaena, ati na misa, njikuti chimanena. Ulanga kwa meneo ulikonunga ama. Verse 9. Antu onse ambigwa ndizo waiva. Kutiani tono. Kwa nikibosa ishe, iya inditu. Pakuti, kidawane nesakare ayuda ndia herene omwe. Kuti, onse watakwidwa ndi uchimo. Verse number 10. Kwa makwane medwa. Paribe mozi orungama. Inde, paribe mozi. Paribe mozi wakutiwika. Paribe mozi wakulondola mulungu. Deso, onsewa apatuka pamozi. Akala wakanda pache. Paribe mozi wakuchita sabino. Inde, paribe mozi nditu. Menemo, mnewamao manda apululu. Nililine. Ama nyenga, ufulu wa manda ulipansi pa milomo yao. Mkamamao, kutara, ni kutemelea, ni zowawa, descriptive. Miyenga yao, ichita ni wilo, kesa mwazi. Usagata, ni kusawuka, ulinjira zao, kesa mwazi. Kwa, jina ya mtendele, saa itiwa. Umuwa mulungu uime na masumbao. Sisi wakuti mchisili zonze. Sisi neenda chiramulo. Sisi la mkula iyo alinacho chiramulo. Kuti wabamwa kose patisegedwe. Nisi mwalozi wapansi litutsidwe ni mulungu. Verse number 20. Chifuwa kuti ama sopache alibe mtu atayese do orungama nchito za mulo kwa kutuhu chimo kutuhika jina mulo verse 21 jirunga mitsigo mwa ukulupe nila Yesu Kristu verse 21 ama sopano chirungamo chabulo chaoneza sopana la mulo chabulo ya neneri hachitila kumboni amen.
Amen. Nyimbo number 2. We just sing the song in our local dialect language, song number 2. That is the English song number 73, which speaks about the amazing grace house with the sound. Nyimbo number 2.
Let me just hand over the microphone to Brother Ken so that we can start thinking about Christ and Him crucified. How did we put somebody in the cross about to be killed?
Thank you so much, and I look forward to this time in the Word together with you. Let's take our Bibles and look in Hebrews chapter 10 once again. We've been studying through these verses during this time of meeting together with you, and today I want to read from verse 9 down to verse 14 and talk to you about what it is to be sanctified before God. There's a lot of confusion today in men's preaching over what it is to be sanctified. Most believe that the way that they sanctify themselves is by their works or efforts at purifying their flesh and somehow working towards sinning less and less and becoming more and more holy. At least that's their thinking. And that may be what some of you are thinking to whom I am preaching right now. You think that somehow by your prayers or by your witnessing or by your reading of the scriptures that somehow you are purifying your flesh. If that is your thinking, then it's deadly thinking, because what the Bible talks about sanctification is in complete contrast to such a thinking. The word sanctified that we're going to find here and read in just a minute in verse 10 of Hebrews 10 really means to be separated unto God. I don't know how your translation translates that word, but I hope it's not in the sense that so many do of making yourself holy. That's not what it means. The word literally means to be separated out from this world and this flesh unto God. From all eternity, God separated out a people unto himself and gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ in election.
Yeah.
So that those sinners that God chose and separated out to himself and gave to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they were sanctified in Christ from eternity, set apart unto Christ from eternity. But secondly, when Christ came in the flesh and worked out the salvation of those that the Father gave him, they were sanctified, or they were set apart unto God in Christ's death when he died. So it's this sanctification specifically that we are reading about here in a little bit in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 through 14. Those for whom Christ died are a sanctified people. In other words, he set them apart, or they were set apart in him when he died on the cross. But also, we know that when the Spirit of God regenerates those sinners for whom Christ died, they are sanctified by the Spirit. In other words, set apart to Christ in their hearts by faith. So what we're going to consider here in my text in Hebrews 10 is how sinners were sanctified in Christ in his coming into this world. It says here in verse 9, then said he, lo, notice, I come to do thy will, O God. To do his will means to accomplish all that God purposed for the salvation of that people that he gave to Christ from before time. So when the Lord Jesus Christ came in this world, it says there, to take away the first. In other words, that has to do with the Old Testament. All those types, pictures, promises, and prophecies in the Old Testament, those sacrifices, he has put away. He has accomplished them.
Kuri mali sente zimena zvamabereka ndizvo chita chizvese chimasvika kuchipangano chakare Yesu anabwera kuzale tsimana dzicha ndikugadzika iyeyo kuti anzwa tsimana iyeyo osana kubereka tsimana dzicha abereka dzali ari.
That's why our Bibles are divided in two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament reveals God's will and purpose, but through type and picture and prophecy and promise, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ who should come.
Chipangano chakale chimafungurutsa cholinga cha Mulungu ndipo chimaonekera mukuperekedwa kwa nsembe pakukhala nsembe pakukhala miyambi ndi mafanizo onse chilichonse chimene chidalankhulidwa mchipangano chakale chimalankhulatsa kubwera kwa Yesu Khristu ndipo chipangano chatsopano chidakabwanitsa chimene chipangano chakale chidalankhula.
The New Testament shows us God's will fulfilled in that He came and He accomplished all that was prophesied concerning Him to the satisfaction of God the Father. So that's why we read here, He taketh away the first, that is, the Old Testament, with its law and prophecies and sacrifices, has been accomplished, that He may, notice that word, establish the second. God never purposed that the Old Testament, with all of its ceremonial laws and sacrifices, should be permanent. Otherwise, it would not have been taken away. I liken it to scaffolding that you see builders put up whenever they're building a building. And so the scaffolding goes up on the outside of the wall. Well, we know that once the building is finished, the scaffolding is taken down. See, that's the picture of the Old Testament. It's scaffolding. It was designed for the building of the building. The building is Christ. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation. And now that He has fulfilled all that the law required, that scaffolding goes away. When it says there in verse 9 that He may establish the second, that's what remains. That word establish means to cause, to make, to stand, to put up or to set up in a permanent way. And that's what God has done in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesu Christu kubwera kwake adakakhazikitsa chipulumutso chonse
So that's what it means to be sanctified in Christ. Right here in verse 9, it's to be sanctified in a new covenant, a new testament that God has accomplished through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many preachers today, because they've never been taught of Christ, that they think that we've got to preach a little grace, and then we also have to go back to the Old Testament and preach a little bit of law. And so by preaching grace and law, or law and grace, that somehow they're preaching Christ. Nothing could be further from the truth. Paul, in writing to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 3, told them in verse 13 that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. So that's how the first was taken away and the second established. It's not that God set aside His law in order to save sinners, but Christ fulfilled it. He became the curse of the law. He bore the sin of the penalty of His people that the law required. But there are still many that reason in their minds and in their thinking that somehow, even though Christ has fulfilled the law, that they need themselves to go back and provide some personal obedience under the law. That's deadly thinking. That's why in verse 10 of Galatians 3, Paul gives this warning, for as many as are of the works of the law, in other words, if you think that somehow there's still something in that law that you need to work out, it says you are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So those that are saved because God has sanctified them in this new covenant. He set them apart in Christ in this new covenant. Now that doesn't mean we cut the Old Testament out of our Bibles, but rather when we go back and read the Old Testament, we read all that the law of God required, but we also see how the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled it all in His coming. Alright, but secondly, here in verse 10, we see that those that are sanctified by the death of the Lord Jesus. It says, by the which will, so that refers back to verse 9, lo, I come to do thy will, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. When it says we are sanctified, it's in a tense in the original Greek that says that it was accomplished when he died and the effects continue forever. There are many that believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ died and paid the debt, still they must give an account before God for their sin. Their thinking is that Christ died to put away their sins past. But as far as sins present and future, they still must, by their confessing or by their works, somehow make themselves right with God. That's how they view sanctification. But I'll tell you that that is a blasphemy when you consider that what it's saying is that Christ's death didn't actually put away sin. that somehow those for whom he died are still going to be accountable for that sin. If that's the case, there are none that are saved. Now what the scriptures teach is that those that are sanctified were sanctified, it says here, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. In other words, in his death.
Malenga tu akuti mundima yake ya 10 ya Hebreo akuonetsera kuti ndichifuniro chimenecho taeretserwa mwacho opereka chathupira Kristu. Kurachaudzwa kuti pamene Yesu Kristu amafa, amakapereka chiyeretso, amakawayeretsa anthu kwa muyaya.
That's the only way that any of us could have any hope of being separated unto God is that we were separated unto him when Christ died. If I'm sanctified, I was sanctified when God the Father set me apart in Christ in election, but I was also sanctified when Christ died. Look how our Lord stated it in John chapter 17 and verse 19. He said, for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So, he sanctified himself, that those for whom he died might be sanctified in him, who is the truth. So you see that Christ here declares that sanctification was every bit his work to do on behalf of sinners such as we are. So when we come back here to Hebrews 10 and verse 10, where it says, by the which will we are sanctified, we've been sanctified, that is, by the sacrifice of Christ, who willingly offered up himself, and that according to the will of God, that sinners such as we are might be separated unto God. It was according to God's will and command that he should lay down his life for this people that God the Father had already sanctified or set apart in him.
uri Yesu Kristo abere mtubi akamfere muntu akampuruhe akamchochere uchimo wake kora risose sirashiriza bongo mfuna wa Mungu kunoko tsolake njogera pachiambi.
Sanctified in that all of their sin has been put away. Sanctified in that by his death God has fully and freely and forever justified, declared just from sin everyone for whom Christ paid the debt.
Adakatulidwa, mweletsedwa, kwa masoba Mulungu, ndipo Mulungu, adawachula woyeletsedwawo, woseredwa ndi Yesu Kristu, kukhala wolungama, pa masoba ake, koma ndi ntchito zawo, kodi kuti kulungama, sikumachokera ku ntchito zako zabwino, ayi.
But there's a third thing here in verse 10 that I don't want us to overlook. God's children, we've seen, have been sanctified in a new covenant. God's children, secondly, have been sanctified by the death of the Lord Jesus. But let's not see the one part of that verse 10 also, and that is those that have been sanctified once for all. It says there at the end of that scripture, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Once for all. This contradicts the teaching today by so many that somehow sanctification is progressive. In other words, that the sinner continues to have to work at sanctification. In other words, at purifying themselves is the way they understand it, by their acts and by their will and by what they do. What this means is that if Christ paid our sin debt, we were sanctified through that death once for all. It's a done deal. In other words, you don't add to the work of Christ to somehow make yourself more holy or pure before God. No, we were sanctified once for all in the death of His Son. What gives a sinner right standing before God is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, period.
Kiseyo siti mabwa nita, kuimaba masoba muru nguoru ngama, muru ngukulitula ulindifeye, tae mabu ino ai. Yeso Kristu ye kamele muru nguama kondwega nae, amena dai mawaru ngama masoba ake, nipada wani ntazose, simene muru nguama zifuna.
Any obedience that we may show toward God is not our sanctification. It's the fruit of having been sanctified. It's not Christ's obedience plus ours that gives us any kind of standing with God. It's Christ's obedience alone. But fourthly, moving on here in verses 11 down to verse 14, I want us to see that our sanctification is complete. So complete was the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in His coming and in His living out this obedience unto His Father and dying, laying down His life on behalf of those that the Father gave Him. There's nothing to add to it or take from it. Now, verse 11 shows us why we don't want to go back to the law and somehow pick up the law again and go back to those Old Testament sacrifices or any other sacrifice for that matter. You notice that every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft time the same sacrifices, look at, which can never take away sins. It was never given to take away sin. When it says here, every priest standeth, that reminds me of preachers today that stand in front of their people, and the people look at the preacher or the priest as if that priest, by what they do, has some power to forgive sin or make them better before God. So they look to a man. But if we read this word and God gives us understanding, notice, nothing that a man can do, whether it's somebody else on our behalf or us on the behalf of somebody else, nothing can ever, it says there, take away sin. Ever. Here is the truth that all of those Old Testament priests and sacrifices that were offered only as a type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's high priest, and his sacrifice, and not in the sacrifices of the Old Testament. That's a reminder that even the sins of God's people in the Old Testament remained until the Lord Jesus Christ came and paid the debt, so that they without us should not be made perfect. So here we see this point on what it is to be sanctified. It is to have that complete perfection, not in any works of our own, but through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's why it says there in verse 12, but this man, it comes down to one man, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God.
Did you find out verse 12? Yeah, very tender, a booty, for my ear, when I was around for someone to watch. The person is, for my ear, in another very assembly, Motzi, Chifaya Machimo, ah, Chifaya Machimo, and a carapata, Jalama, Jalamurungo, Chikaline.
By this man, but this man, that is Jesus Christ, the God-man, he came and a body was prepared for him because God can't die. It took a man dying. So this man, as the great high priest that came to do the will of God and did it and offered up his body once for all, that's how God's people were sanctified. And that is complete. You say, well, how do we know it was complete? Well, it says there that once he had offered himself for sins once for all, it says, once forever sat down on the right hand of God. Sat down.
Yeah,
Notice the contrast between verse 12, every priest standeth daily. There was no seat in the tabernacle. The priest could not sit down. They had to be continually offering those sacrifices because they couldn't put away sin. But God required it that they continue that work. It says there in verse 12, this man, by way of contrast of those Old Testament priests, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. That means the work is complete. The reason so many are running around today trying to work out their salvation or trying to, by their works, sanctify themselves, it's because they're still in darkness. Their eyes have never been opened to see the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and that complete and forever sanctification in Him. I'll tell you, those whose eyes the Spirit of God has opened, they're not running around with the crowd trying to work out their sanctification. No, they're just like Christ is seated. They're seated. They're resting. They're looking to Him who is their sanctification because of His finished work at the cross.
Amen.
Christ, having completed the work, it says there in verse 13, from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. There's nobody going to be able to undo what Christ has done.
Father, the second set in Abuja, Ephesians chapter 10. Abuji, we are made up of Wepo. Ari ndira kufikira Adani ache aidwa akare mpano kumapazi ache kutoza ni kwa chindu china chimene china tsala chimene inuya ndire kufika kipanke kuti chikwanitse kuti pulu mutsa kapena chotsama chimwati kulibe sources da kwa mtima ni Yesu.
I know that some read that when it says expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. They read that as meaning that at the end of time, when God will subdue all his enemies in judgment. That's how they read it. But in the context of what we're reading here, his enemies would be those for whom he died. In other words, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. That has to do with those whose sins nailed him to the cross, and yet now he ever lives to intercede on their behalf until they be brought to bow to him as Lord and Savior, which is what the Spirit does. We see here, so complete was the work of Christ in sanctifying this people that not one will be lost. It says there, till his enemies, every one that was his enemy should be made his footstool, brought to bow to him in truth. I hear people talking all the time about how terrible it was that those who condemned Christ to die did so the way they did. They're always pointing the finger at them, but I consider it was my sins that nailed him to that cross. So they were just my representatives. I was Christ's enemy. And that's why he came to pay the debt to reconcile such as I to God. But so complete is that work that not one for whom he died will ever be able to continue on in that rebellion. He'll bring them to bow. And that's why the conclusion in verse 14, where you see it says, for, that's a conclusion, for, by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Njifale njimaga 14 yomalizayo ya tsikula lero ikuti pakuti tinoda kuda kunoomba kuramalise kauri pakuti ndichibereko chimodzi ana wayesera angwiro chikhalire iwo oyeretsedwa ana wapanga kukhala angwiro chikhalire kuti sathumbiwonso mchochokanso ayi awapanga kukhala angwiro mpaka na kalekale.
So there it very clearly shows us the complete perfection of the sinner's sanctification in Christ by his death. There's nothing that can be added to it or taken from it.
Sichimachoka mmalo mmachama kukuluka kuruma rupanga isi yuru basule ndo kutoka lwa kumamba ukapanga akabasi wachoka kumamba ndo wakala ukira kushonokeko ukakoleraso ukira kumamba sichimakala cho chwai asa mine yeso wada kwa wakama kupera ada wapasa chiburumucho yuru wapanga kare mbozi amena adam siya palime kare mbozi amena adam reka kumucha ali.
It says by his one offering he hath perfected. That's a done complete work. It's not that he is, he hath perfected forever those that have been sanctified, is the way to read that. They've been already set apart in him. So if you are one of the Lord's, one for whom he paid the debt, then you can have this complete assurance that when he died, he made a full payment for your sins. Complete redemption. Perfect justification when he died. Well, I'm going to stop there for today. We have one more message tomorrow, Lord willing. We'll continue on with verse 15, but I pray that the Lord has been our teacher as we've looked at this important matter of what it is to be sanctified before God. It's all in Christ.
Kwalero tinagira napo mwepo kusulati limene timayangana zakukhala woyeretsedwa mwambuye wa Jesu Kristu zamene munthu amakulumutsidwira kuti sitachilika kamodzi kwatha kwada wakulumutsa ndi kuwalungamitsa.
I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you very much, Brother Ken, because of the message. Tadetitsakulani nyimbo zathu za Mungu timba nyimbo nambala 5 komanso nyimbo nambala 10 kapena tikumaliza mapemphero wathu amasana ano. We'll just sing Psalm number 5 and the number 10, which speaks, number 5 says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Number 5. Chidam chani kundiereza bazi wabuye ye chiyadi chani zili kolomoza bazi wabuye ye chitime chitime ichapawa chitile zaine vidano sayaya tende kuka kazi wangu ye ye yeah, yeah, nah, nah.
Thank you. First is only the grace, and it is only the death of Jesus Christ. That man who take away all my sins, all my sins, and it is only by grace, it is only grace that lead me elect. Oh, what a comfort, what joy shall fill my heart, what joy has filled my heart to see my sins taken away, but by grace alone, and by Christ and His crucified alone, without compromise and without regret. So again, look to pray in prayer as we are closing, finishing this international service that we had on this day, Saturday. But again, we can have a celebratory program.
Amen. Thank you, dear Father, for the comfort of your word and for your spirit that teaches us of Christ again and again to see in him our complete salvation and to know that when he came according to your will and a body was prepared for him, it was for this one purpose, that he should live out that life to your holiness and justice and satisfaction, and lay down his life, shed his blood unto death, that sinners for whom he paid the debt might be once for all sanctified unto you, set apart, and have that full, complete pardon and justification upon completion of his work. I thank you that by your grace you've been pleased to teach some of us. And if there's any still in ignorance, we know that if you have set them apart in eternity and Christ has come and paid their debt, that them also you must bring. And you will. And so we part rejoicing in this message of grace, rejoicing in your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and rejoicing in his finished work accomplished for sinners such as we are. And to him alone be all the honor and glory and praise, in whose name I pray. Amen.
Amen.